amazing, isn't he? You know, when you just think, just take a moment to think about that. Our God is incredible. You know, we sit in this room, okay, a lot of us are away at Easter holidays and stuff. We sit in this room, we know that Jesus is just the best thing in life. And, you know, even when it's grey and cloudy like this, we carry the sunshine of his love. We carry that joy in our hearts because he's just so good to us. He treats us better than we deserve. And even this week, you know, I've got some great stories. I love what he's doing away with our youth. And the youth kids, sounds fantastic. Thank you, Jesus. You know, that their hearts are getting stirred up. I knew as soon as Ruth told me she was going to be preaching on our identity, on knowing God as Father, that there was going to be a fire. Because, you know, that's what the Holy Spirit is doing in our day. You know, all over the land, churches are really growing into this understanding that we're not part of a religion. You know, church is not a religion. You know, Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. It's a relationship with a God who loves us higher than the heavens are above the earth. And that is a pretty long way. You know, when you ask a little kid, he says, how much do you love me? They say, that much. God stretches out his hands, you know, and they go higher than the heavens are above the earth. That's how much he loves you and me. That's phenomenal. And, you know, this week, I just seen it demonstrated again and again. You know, when you lead a church, when you're up the front in your ministry, and you get a chance to pray with folk, and that's a real privilege. And last week, I was praying with a lady who was weeping over some of the struggles her child was facing in terms of raising money. And so we pray, and often you feel a bit helpless when you're praying. But within 3 days, the money that they needed had come in. So more than they needed. So that's something to rejoice about. Thank you, Jesus. You know, Kerry came up to me at the end of the meeting and said, you know, there's a family that could do with some real help. And then I get an email later that day from someone saying that actually they want to give to someone. So, you know, God is amazing, just meeting our needs. And often through one another. Often through one another. So this subject that we're talking about, this generosity, is a really important subject. Part three today. Just to recap then, we're looking at The Blessed Life, the book. I have some left there. I'm a terrible salesman. So if you feel like you want to read the book, you want to be challenged in your whole attitude towards giving, and you want to be inspired because it's an inspirational read, then please go and buy one. If that doesn't do it for you, just if you feel like pity for me, you know, and you want to just buy a book from me because I had to buy them because they came from America, then, you know, you can do that as well. I don't mind being bought a book from pity because it will bless you, guaranteed. It really has challenged me. It's helped me an awful lot. I must say, since wrestling with it this year, the last 3 or 4 months, you know, I have gained more freedom financially in terms of my heart, which is what the Lord's after. So we looked at the first fruits, the tithe, and what Ben was just talking about a minute ago. We looked at the first part belonging to God, and the importance of giving that to him, putting God first in our lives. We also learned that actually we're not under law but under grace. But grace goes so much further than the law. The grace is interested in our heart, a transformation right in the center of us so that we no longer operate and do what we feel like we're being told to do or have to do. We do it because we really want to do it. So we don't give because we have to give because it's a law to fulfill a requirement, to tick a box. But actually we give because God is so generous that we just want to respond to his generosity and be like him. And so we give more. And in that kind of discovery, we discover that God is a God who loves to multiply. We can't outgive him. That when we give to him, when we give offerings on top of our tithe, he multiplies them, which is incredible. God loves to multiply. And I said, you know, he's after our hearts. At the end of the day, it's all about our hearts. That's why Jesus warns us about mammon, because mammon's like putting God second, putting money first. Or letting money take the place of God. The love of money, it says in Timothy, is the root of all evil. So it can distract us. It can get in the way of our relationship with the Lord. And, you know, it's so important that we have the Lord as number one in our hearts. So, you know, we have to ask ourselves the question. The radiator wants to join in. You know, are we governed by selfishness, pride and poverty? Or actually, are our hearts more around thankfulness and generosity? It's a good way of knowing, you know, because how we handle our money, how we think about money is a true reflection of where our hearts are in these things. We can live in pride and fear and hang on to things, or we can live in humility and love and be generous. Okay, let's go on to today's talk then. So, Robert Morris points out there's some foundational principles as far as he's concerned when it comes to living a blessed life. And when it comes to handling finance in particular. And one of them is, the first one, get out of debt. It may sound obvious, but in our culture, we've become increasingly just comfortable with debt. You know, and I guess you can pin a significant change back to the 80s. And whether you love or hate Margaret Thatcher, that kind of way of thinking whereby why put off to tomorrow what you can buy on credit today became a way of living, such that now, you know, we have huge debts. Nations have huge debts. Individuals have huge debts. We encourage our youngsters when they go to college just to pile up huge debts. You know, and for me, this when we do that, we're selling ourselves into slavery. You know that, don't you? You feel a debt. When you have a debt, it weighs on you. Because basically, you basically have part of your life that's in hock. Because it takes about a number of months or years to pay off a debt. So it's so important that we get a kind of right head. And if we can, at all possible, like Paul would say about slavery, if you can, get out of slavery, he said. If you can do it, be free. It's the same with money. If we can at all possible live without debt, we don't need the stuff that people try and make us buy. We don't need new cars as often as we have them. We don't need new as expensive holidays. You know, we can actually, they're the big decisions that actually usually end up with us being in debt. But if we can, get out of it. Another thing to do is to avoid manipulation. TV evangelists are pretty good at some manipulation. But sometimes we can be too. We can drop hints of our need if we're really struggling financially. We can make comments. I've been guilty of that. I know what it's like to have had money and to not have money. And when I've not had money, drop hints. Oh, I can't afford that, you know. And people will know I've said those things. And actually, that's the wrong way of being. It's manipulative. Our trust is not in other people responding to our need. It's our Father who loves us. He's our provider. So, you know, there are a couple of reasons why people get offended when you talk on the subject of money. One is because they feel manipulated. And actually, we're not into that. In this church, we're really not into that. One of the reasons we have openness in our values of gold is because freedom's really important. People should only give what they feel cheerfully they want to. And you should only give cheerfully what you decide in your heart to give. A very important principle. The second reason people get upset is not so good, though, is because they're under conviction. They have maybe a negative attitude towards money, and it's being challenged, and none of us like being challenged about something that we're not so good at, and that can cause a reaction in us. If my wife tells me a home truth about myself, I can stir up. Oh! Yeah, and that kind of stuff can go on in our hearts. We have to be careful with that. The next thing is to give as you feel led. Do you know, that's an interesting thing, is it? Give as you feel led. You should be stronger than that, Colin, shouldn't you? You should say, good, give as you are led. Because we're certain, aren't we? Well, not normally, no. Let's be honest. Who here is 100% certain when they hear the voice of the Lord all the time? Anybody? Well, I'm glad that nobody put their hand up because, you know, even Paul says I prophesy in part, you know. I don't know yet fully as I ought to know. And he was pretty spot on with a lot of things. And even the apostles, the ones that Jesus left behind, when they were making a really massive decision which would affect the church for centuries about what the Gentiles should do, should and shouldn't do, what the non-Jews should and shouldn't do, all they could do was say, it seems good to us in the Holy Spirit. You know, they'd walked and talked with Jesus for years, had that amazing outpouring at Pentecost, and all they could do was say, well, it seems we've been praying about it, and we reckon this, and it feels right in our hearts, and the Holy Spirit's agreeing with us, we think. Don't eat meat sacrificed to idols. Don't drink blood. Don't be sexually promiscuous. So give as we feel led. You know, that's an exciting journey. Jesus, when he's talking on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, he says, you know, when you give, when you do your acts of charity, do it in secret. Don't do it in front of people. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Do you know, that's quite fun. Anybody here had fun doing that in secret? Because it's fun. I used to do it a lot more in my first years as a Christian than I do today. And actually, I've got to rediscover that fun. Because it was fun sticking envelopes with money through people's letterboxes. That's quite fun. You can just imagine their face when they get up in the morning and there's some money on their door. That's quite a good feeling. I remember once, my first year at church, someone lost their job. And they were up at the front sharing about it, and they had a family. And I was a young single man, and I was earning more than I needed. And I thought, God, no, I'm going to give him some money. So the next Sunday, I took out a whole stack of cash and 50-pound notes and stuffed it in his Bible. And for me, that was just fun. I thought, I just would love to see his face when he got up to do his prayer time the next morning, you know, and discovered those 50-pound notes in his Bible. He got up and shared about it in church the following week. But yeah, that's fun. If you've never done that kind of stuff, I really encourage you. You know, if we had a community of people that were all in that habit of surprising people, you know, this would be an even funner place than it is today. So let's do it. And but Jesus said himself, you know, it's more blessed to give than receive. And in those acts, you know, our hearts are refreshed, really and truly. They really are. And, you know, sometimes I used to do it as almost like spiritual warfare as well, because sometimes what's going on in your heart is not good. And you think, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to make my heart do something good. And for me, that's one way to do it, is do something good with money. Because that's a good test of my barometer of my heart. And I remember once some person actually promised that they would mentor me, that they would give me a lot of time. And I thought, fantastic. I had one meeting with them and then nothing. And then someone else started to get mentored by them. And I started to feel a bit jealous. And so I didn't like what was going on in my heart. And that other young man who they were mentoring suddenly had a big need, so I paid for it. I thought, I'm going to bless him, because actually I don't like what's going on in my heart. This is spiritual warfare. My heart is more important than this other thing. Broke it. Thank you, Jesus. We can use our money as spiritual warfare. So your hearts are so precious, guys. I look around this room, your hearts are precious. Jesus died on a tree, hung on a tree for your heart, not for your wallet or for your house. You know, not so you could turn up here on a Sunday morning, but for your heart, the wellspring of life. Let's guard them. And then finally, Robert adds this one, I-O, instant obedience. Now, we're all mature Christians here, a lot of us. We know the importance of this, don't we? Don't we? Because, let's face it, when you hear the voice of the Lord, initially, it's, hey, I've just heard God. That's quite, I can tell you, I've just heard God. That's exciting. And then, maybe you might question, oh, well, you know, I'm not sure if that was God. And then the more you think about it, the more reasons you come up with why actually it probably wasn't God. And then you make up your mind in the end, it definitely wasn't. But if you can just actually get ahead of your brain, you know, sometimes ahead of our thinking, and actually respond to that initial prompting, because often the Holy Spirit will whisper to us. He doesn't always shout. Sometimes he does, but he doesn't always shout. Small, gentle voice, and we need to pay attention to it. And when we do, things are released in the spirit world. You know, we're so good at reasoning why we shouldn't do stuff and hardening our hearts. You know, I used to be able to go down the street and give to a beggar and give to someone who was busking or give. And then someone told me one day, well, of course, then you spend it on drink or drugs. You shouldn't really do that. You should go and take them for a meal. Or all of a sudden, I've got a good reason not to give. My heart is hardened. And I find it much easier to walk past people in need. Or I give to third world countries, and I give to charities, and I give to Tear Fund, and I give to other places. And then someone tells me, well, you know, actually, those things don't always do such much good. There's a lot of waste. There's a lot of corruption in third world governments and stuff. You know, really, it's best to give out a relationship. Another bit of hardness comes to my heart. You can always, and I'm not going to be wrong, these arguments are very complex, but all I'm saying is I'm making the point that we can always find a reason not to do something. Not to be generous, not to give something away, not to do something sacrificial. And there are good reasons not to. But let me tell you, the best reason is for your heart. My heart. I need to. I need to respond to the things around me, to the needs around me. I need to respond to those who ask. I need to respond for the sake of my own heart so that it doesn't become hard. Yeah, when you think about that, though, that's not just true about money. It's true about everything in this walk of faith with our God. You know, if we've got a sick neighbour, you might think in the middle of the night, actually, I've got a real burden to go and pray with them. If you leave it too long, you'll think of 10 or 15 reasons why, actually, it's probably not appropriate. You know, they'll just think you're a religious nut. You don't want to be seen to be pushing your faith on people. You don't want to force your way into their home. You know, all of those, any number of things could come up. Same with telling a stranger that God loves them, or reaching out to a colleague at work and just saying, do you know, I'm so excited about Jesus. We can think of 100 reasons why not very quickly. It's good to respond in the moment. Just remember that story of Peter when he sees Jesus walking on the water? And they're all terrified, and he says, Jesus says, don't worry, it's me, the Lord. And Peter says to him, if it's you, Lord, call me out on the water. What a silly thing to say. He says, call me out on the water. And he says, it's me, come on. Now, just imagine if Peter would have sat down and had a chat with his friends, just got together his best mates and said, look, I think I've heard the Lord. You know, I know there's a storm, but the Lord's just asked me to go out on the water. What do you think? Let me tell you something, Jackie, if you do that, what your friends will say, they'll say, you are mad. People don't float. Well, if you're a good swimmer, but in a storm, you're going to sink, for goodness sake. Look at that wind. Look at those waves. Yeah, you'll be reasoned out of it in a moment. Because actually, a step of faith is a step of faith. It requires us to trust in something unseen. And that's the thing that moves the heart of the Lord. You know, I was speaking to Carrie the other day, you know, and we were praying, chatting and praying together, and they're just wanting this to be a church where we celebrate the getting out of the boat. Celebrate the daft acts of faith that we do when we think we've heard the voice of the Lord. That's where we grow. That is the way we grow. And God is moved by faith. We'll come and look at that in a little bit. But he's moved by that. It's about us learning to hear his voice. Okay. Do you know, there's a gift of giving. If you read Romans chapter 12, it's like a lot of the gifts, all of us are called to them, but some of them have a special gift. It says, having then gifts according to the grace that is given to us, let each of us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. But there is a gift. There's a gift of giving. Anybody here feel like they've got that gift? Oh, there's one. Oh boy, there's a couple. There's a couple. Precious people. You know, it only lists about 7 gifts there. Okay, there are lots more gifts, I'll grant you that. But if I was to say who here thinks they've got a gift of prophecy, or who here thinks they've got a gift of mercy, we might end up with a few more hands going up. We need to have those with the gift of giving honoured in our midst. It's a serious gift. Really blesses the church of God. It really blesses the kingdom. So much of what we aspire to do takes finance and takes people to give. We really need to honour people and encourage people that are givers. So we might do that at the end. We might take a chance to pray for those 2 and anybody else who feels brave enough, because you might eagerly desire it. You might earnestly desire to have that gift of giving, in which case we can pray for you as well. Because I want to see a church that's generous. Okay. You know, Robert Morris doesn't just teach this stuff. He lives this stuff. This book is incredible. Buy it. His stories are incredible. He's given away 9 cars in a period of 18 months. That's amazing. Every time he'd give one away, another one would come his way. And he'd give that one away. And another one would come his way. And he'd give that one away. And then one day the Lord said to you not to give it away. He was to sell it. So he sold it and got $12,000 or something for it. He said, what do I do with this? The Lord said, I'll show you. He then went on a mission trip. And he got out on mission. And the missionary's driving around in this beat up old jalopy. And he says, you need a new bus. And he says, yeah, I know I do. So I found the one I want. The Lord's told me which one I'm to get. He said, how much is it? $12,000. I've got the money for you. Here it is. That's amazing. He gave away a house once. He's given away all he's owned 3 times. If you're not challenged right now, I'm going to give up. It's crazy. But you know, you don't start off on that. You start off by hearing the Lord on the small things. And they lead to bigger things. You see, this is a fundamental thing. We touched on it earlier. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. You know it. Most of you don't need to even turn to it. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's quite amazing. Just let those words sink into your heart just for a moment. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Because sometimes we think we can please the Lord just by living a good life. Just by doing what we know to be good, turning up on a Sunday, serving a bit. But actually, without faith, it's impossible to please him. That stirs me, you know, guys. You need to know. That really gets to me. I feel constantly the Spirit saying, Colin, you've got an adventure. Don't get comfortable. Don't get comfortable. Take steps of faith. Get out of the boat. And for you getting out of the boat, it will look different from me getting out of the boat. But we both got to do it. We dare not sit in a comfortable place, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Adventure. We've got to adventure. So, must believe, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. Well, that's pretty good. But it also says this, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We don't often like to talk about rewards in British culture, do we? We sign up to rewards things, you know, on our cards and things like that, but actually, rewards are a bit dirty. Feel a bit dirty doing things for a reward. But it's true. God is a rewarder. Turn to Mark chapter 29. Chapter 29. Not 29 chapters of Mark. Chapter 10. We'll read 29 and 30. This is now when Jesus has just been teaching his disciples about how difficult it is for rich people to enter the kingdom of heaven. And they say, God, that's impossible then. Who can be saved? And Jesus says, with God, all things are possible. And he said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who will not receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come, eternal life. Do you know, it's interesting the way it doesn't say wives. that just hit me as I was reading it. Maybe you don't want to encourage people to have 100 wives. But all those things, there's a reward. God loves to reward us. The things that we leave behind for the sake of the gospel, the sake of the kingdom, God will more than make up to us. God loves to do that. It's in his very nature to reward us. And it's not a dirty word. It's like a father likes to reward his kids. You know, when I see my kids do exceptionally well, I want to reward them. Everything in me wants to say, I want to encourage them in that great behavior. If they've been kind to someone, I want to encourage them. You know, Rachel did something the other day which blessed my heart. Did I tell you this story? She found a £10 note. Did I tell you that story? Oh, she blessed my heart. Because she found this £10 note outside. She didn't have to tell us. She could have just kept it. But she came in and she said, Dad, I've got this £10 note. I found it outside. Shall I go around and knock on the doors of all the neighbours to see if someone's lost it? Bless. I said, I've lost it. But no, so I said, do what you feel is right, the right thing, Rachel. So she went around and knocked on all the doors of the neighbours to ask them if they'd lost £10. That's fantastic. I want to encourage that behaviour. She's fantastic. I tell her, she's fantastic. I want to reward that kind of behaviour. And then a couple of days later, I'm driving and walking my little fluffy ball of fur. There's a dog in there, actually, I found out this week. It's not just the ball of fur. We got him shaved. He's only about a third of the size. Honestly, I didn't recognise it. I've got a dog. But anyway, I was walking the fur. And this car pulls up. It's one of my neighbours. Just stops in the middle of the road and winds his window out. And he had tears in his eyes. He said, I just had to stop and tell you. He said, your daughter really moved me. When she restored my faith in people, when she knocked on the door and asked if we'd lost a £10 note. She didn't only bless my heart, she blessed our neighbour's heart. Come on. Bless them, Lord Jesus. Bless all those young people away. They're good. They're good. But you see, like any good father, our Lord loves to bless. Look at Luke 19, the parable of the miners. Jesus tells this story about this rich landowner who lends a miner to 10 people and then goes away and tells them to invest it. Some of them invest it, some of them don't. One invests it and he earns 10 more miners. Listen to what the master says to him. Then came the first and saying, Master, your miners earned 10 miners. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. Now, that's incredible. You were faithful with your miner. I want to give you 10 cities. Because some of us sitting here might be thinking, you know, this all this talk of money, Colin, really, I'm glad that the series is ending this week because, you know, I've not got much. And, you know, this doesn't really apply to me. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. Because if we are faithful with the little, then God multiplies it. God does not multiply and give a huge blessing and then see what you do with that blessing. He sees what you do, what you've got in your hand. He looks at what we've got and how we behave with it, looking to increase us. So here he is, increasing the one who's brought an increase, giving him 10 cities. God is looking to raise up men and women to look after cities. In this room, come on. Do you dare believe God for a city, Joel? Ewan, Good to see you back from university, guys. Do you dare believe God for a city? Be faithful with the fiver you got in your pocket or with the 15p or whatever it is. Be faithful with the small things, and there's no end to the increase that you will see in your lives. I tell you that. I prophesy that over you. God is with you, looking to bless. He's looking to pour out so much blessing it can't be contained. That's what the Bible tells us. Come on. Adventure, guys, adventure. You know, Robert tells a couple of great stories. He tells one of a businessman, a friend of his, who felt he'd heard the Lord say, if you were to increase your tithe from 10% to 15%, I'll double your income next year. And if you increase it from 15% to 20%, I'll double it again the year after. Amazing. The most amazing thing is he didn't just hear that. He actually shared it with someone and then acted on it. And his salary doubled year on year until he got to the point where he was giving 40%. I don't know why he stopped at that, to be honest with you. This sounds like a good deal, doesn't it? If you heard the Lord say that. But the thing is, he stepped out when there was no guarantee. He stepped out into the unknown. He stepped out into the word of faith. When it was just words, just the thought, he stepped out into that, onto the waves, without looking at the wind and the storms of life, thinking, okay, I'm going to do this thing. And tested God, and God showed himself faithful like he always does. Amazing. He tells another story of a lovely friend of his, who one night he had a bit of spare time and he thought he'd just check his bank balance and he was blessed. Oh, that's good. Look at that. I've got more than I thought. That's good when you do that, isn't it? Doesn't happen very often, but you think, oh, God, I've got more than I thought. Fantastic. He thought, I'm feeling so good. I'll have a look at my savings accounts as well and see how they're doing. Oh, I'm blessed. Look at that. He looked at the savings accounts and thought, you know, God's been good to me over these last 20 years. And then he thought, I'll just go and check on my pension, see how they're doing. Oh, look at the size of those. Haven't they grown? And he went to bed feeling a mightily blessed man. Next morning, during his quiet time, the Lord speaks to him and says to him, Adrian, I'm making up the name. Adrian, how much money have you got? His throat went dry. What do you mean, Lord? Do you mean how much have I got in my pocket? About $25. And he knew what the Lord was asking him. How much money have you got? You just counted it all. He said, yeah, I know to the cent how much money I've got. I told the Lord. And the Lord said, will you give it to me? And he went from delirium to absolute kind of disaster. No, that can't be you. That cannot be you. Don't ask that kind of thing, does he? No, he does. Have you read Genesis? Abraham waits 25 years for a son, and then God says, give me your son. Yeah, hold on a minute. What? Come on, you can't be serious. But he knew it was the Lord. Sometimes you know it's the Lord, you just can't get away from it. It grows in your heart, it niggles away. You can ignore it if you want, but it niggles. It's painful. It's much easier just to give in. The Lord's quite good at nagging. Anyway, he knew it was the Lord, and he gave it all away. He gave everything, every last cent away. And Robert tells us that his friend earned more, his business earned more in the next year than in the previous 20 put together. And I don't know, you know, would that have happened if he hadn't heard and been obedient to that voice? I don't know, but that's the way it was. Okay, what time is it? Have I run out of time yet? Oh, right, I better stop. We know the principles, don't we? It's such a shame that we live in a culture where it's all buy and sell and it's all to do with money. We don't live in a farming culture anymore. Because when you live in a farming culture, actually, it's all about what you give away. That's important. Because you've got need or seed. And, you can't eat it all. If you eat it all, you've got nothing for next year. So you know you've got to plant a whole lot of it into the soil. You've got to give it away, scatter it. You've got to put it in the ground so that it dies. That's just the way of things. The Lord puts it right into the heart of nature so that we know to actually, for something to multiply, we need to give it away. And then it doesn't stop there, of course. You know, we can go on to extravagant giving. And I haven't got time to look at that, but I will. It's finished. I must have clicked twice. Extravagant giving. See, no, obviously that nobody wants you to see that picture. Killed it. Right, okay. But extravagant giving, because you can give a tithe. Tithe's fantastic, giving back to the Lord what is His. We can be generous and give offerings on top of our tithes. That's what's multiplied. Fantastic. And thank you. But actually, on top of that, we can actually be extravagant and give way beyond, like Robert has learned to do. And you know, some of us in this room are called to give extravagant gifts. I know that. The thing is, will we? If we compare ourselves to other people, we won't. Look at what Mary Magdalene did for Jesus just before he died. She poured a jar of nard on it, oil over him, perfume all over him, which was equivalent to a year's wages. That's about £30,000, roughly, give or take, depending on where the country you live. You know, but if you imagine pouring out £30,000, the disciples got pretty upset. We might get upset with that, mightn't we? What a waste. We could do with that money. Look at all the good we could do. And Jesus says, "No, the poor you'll always have with you. This was done to bless me. This was done to prepare me for burial." It's an extravagant gift. God's an extravagant God. That's why I know there are some people that will reflect that gift, that extravagant gift of generosity. Because they're moved by His big love and want to give in proportion to that. Okay, I'm going to stop there, but I want to pray, first of all, and ask God, the Lord, to really speak to our hearts. Maybe as I was speaking, you were touched by that thought of posting money through people's letterboxes or giving in secret, finding ways, creative ways of giving and blessing people in the church, people out of the church, friends, family, neighbours, colleagues. And just ask now for the Holy Spirit just to bring to mind someone whom He might have you bless this week. Holy Spirit, we want to be generous people like you. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Show us whom you would have us bless. For some of us, that's not about money. For some of us, it's just about a step of faith, about getting out of the boat and doing something we've been thinking about doing for a while but not got around to, almost reasoned ourselves out of it. Some of us have promised the Lord an extravagant gift at one time or other. And maybe we reasoned ourselves out of that. And the Lord says, actually, today is the day. Reconsider that. Let's make that decision for our hearts to be soft to the Lord's voice, to respond to what we feel He's saying to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we want to give you those thoughts in our hearts. And we all pray that we would hear your voice more. Help us to walk in faith, to get out of the boat when you say come, despite the wind, despite the rain, despite the waves, just to adventure with you. Help us not to settle, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And if you are one of the people that have got that gift of giving, or you eagerly desire that gift, I'd really like you to stand. because I want to pray for you. I want us as a church to pray for you and honour you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Please, will you lay hands on these guys and pray for them? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, we thank you. You're such a generous God. We all benefit from that. Thank you that you place generous people in our midst, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you stir up generosity in all of our hearts. And we pray that you would stir it up again today. But Father, especially we want to honour and thank you for these guys that have stood. We thank you for those that are walking in that gift already, that grace. We thank you for them. Help them to adventure in it, Lord Jesus, to hear your voice in it, to really know the joy of what it is to give out and to be your provider, to be the one who meets the needs that you see, Lord Jesus. Give them that joy of working with your Spirit, Lord God, to see your kingdom come here on earth. Oh, Lord Jesus, give them that gift, I pray, that wonderful gift, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Let joy rise in their hearts. Help them to adventure with you, Lord Jesus, to take greater and greater steps of faith so that they have stories of their own to tell, Lord God, to really bless our hearts with your faithfulness to their generosity. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. Bless them. Amen.